Hi everyone, welcome to Hear the World. My name is Asaf Ofir. We're going to be speaking today about Buddhism, and I have the pleasure of speaking with a monk in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. His name is Gelong Loden Nima.
Hello, Loden.
Hello, Asaf.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So how long have you been a monk?
I've been a monk for a little over 10 years.
Wow. Okay. And did you start in the United States, or have you traveled?
The monastery that I trained at is actually in Canada. It's in Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay. Cool. And now you're in Colorado.
And now I'm in Colorado. I'm currently in Boulder, but I live at a retreat center in the mountains a couple hours north of here.
Okay. Nice. Cool. How did you originally get into Tibetan Buddhism? What inspired you to get into Tibetan Buddhism?
Well, two things. And in my experience working with people, it's often a combination of these two things. One was some kind of an undeniable resonance and curiosity, you know, towards the spiritual path and resonance with Buddhism in particular that was kind of always there. And that made it a natural place to look when my life fell apart. Went through a very, you know, teenage version of that. I was young. But it was life falling apart and being in a very confusing situation. And within that, then wanting a way to work with that on an inner level with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mixture, certainly, you know, of inspiration and wanting a way to work with my own suffering. And then I got more than I asked for. And for me, it had become something very transformative. And the reason that I ordained was not some kind of religious thing, even particularly. It was wanting to give my life to the thing I thought could be most helpful for other people and most helpful for myself. And that's what it was about.
Well, I'm curious how has the virus kind of affected your, you know, the center that you live at, and how has it affected you?
Well, the center I live at, since it's a retreat center where we're mainly hosting people all over the place, to then sit in a small room together and meditate and talk about Buddhism, and it's actually a quite ecumenical retreat center. There's a lot that happens there. That's one of the worst possible things to be doing during a pandemic. And so it's changed everything. We are currently doing everything like this. We're on a Zoom call right now. And following as closely as we possibly can to the best medical advice we can get to try to keep everyone safe. And then we're shifting some of our models. We're saying, okay, you know, we have a very secluded, beautiful little place in this mountain valley with safe lodging and a kitchen that can be very attentive to safe food preparation and guidelines. We're saying, what can we offer from that? And one very immediate thing that arose is we have a garden and we can grow more food and donate food to the local food bank in our area. So that was one little thing right off the bat. And then there's a lot of conversations about what else we can do. And rather than having groups of people coming in and out all the time, we're looking at how we can offer long-term, you know, residential housing and stays. And there's a lot of conversations about different ways that we can do that. But for a lot of us there, it's like in the kind of times we're in, where we have the most power to come together is in our local situation and in our local community. And looking within that, what can we do? And how can we come together? How can we live our values through this? And how can we help each other?
Yeah, wow. Sounds amazing. You guys are really diving in. That's really great. Yeah, it really impresses me to see how communities, you know, where the values are in the right place, how communities are coming together and doing things at this time. It's really great. We were talking before the interview and I told you that I would like to hear a little bit about Tibetan Buddhism. And what I've been asking people is if they can think of three words that describe their own, you know, their own faith or their own culture. And so you said that you had a little time to think about that. I'm curious what you've come up with.
I did. Yeah, I did. So I will. And I want to keep it really brief because I want to talk directly about the pandemic and trust that as I do, more about my limited perspective of Buddhism will come out that way too. But the three words that I chose are traditionally used to encapsulate the Buddhist path. And those words are ethics, meditation, and wisdom. And ethics refers to how we're living our lives, our actions. From a Buddhist point of view, we want those to at least not be causing harm to others directly, nor contributing to cycles of systemic harm, whether we realize it or not. But rather, we actually want to be helping others. And ultimately, we want to be seeing and living in accordance with the sacredness of each other, of ourselves, and of our world. And helping each other to realize that and to live that way. So in Buddhism, our actions really matter, and we need to use them wisely, because it's all of our actions which co-create our world for better and for worse. And when it's for worse, with negative actions or negative inactions, like not paying attention to the suffering of others and the part we may be playing in that, it's also part of what creates our own suffering, both immediately now and also later. Or on the other hand, when we act from understanding, from love, from compassion, and from openness, they're how we help each other. And these days, that takes courage. The second word is meditation. Meditation is how we work directly with our minds, which is where all of our actions start. And in meditation, we learn to accept and embrace the raw energy of everything we think and feel, and allow it to gradually unfold into the wisdom and the compassion of our shared nature. And that's important, because when we do that, we're free, which is natural. And we can act skillfully from that and help others be free. And that's what Buddhists want. It's what we call enlightenment. And when we don't, when we're lost in painful and confused emotions and stories, then we suffer, and if we act on those, as I was saying, then we also create further suffering. So from a Buddhist point of view, that also plays out in cycles across lifetimes in any form that our minds can create. The third word is wisdom. And wisdom is both natural in terms of it is what we are, and it's also our innate wisdom at work through our curiosity, when we're cultivating knowledge through learning, through studying, through listening to each other, through taking what we hear and learn to heart, through contemplation, and ultimately realizing its meaning in our meditation. And the ultimate meaning, as I was saying, is the innate wisdom and compassion that's the nature of everyone, and that's the sacredness of our world.
Thank you. Thank you. So I would actually love to hear what you have to say about the virus, which you said is something that you would love to focus on. So coming from that viewpoint and what you've been saying about Buddhism, how does this strike you? Like the what's going on right now in the world, and how do you see it from your point of view?
Well, first of all, in a moment, I'm going to suggest that we take a moment of silence, and I'll say more about that. And I'm sure that it's not news to anyone listening to this, but at the time that we are talking, on the 7th of June, the recorded deaths around the world that we know about are over 400,000. That was NPR's figure from Johns Hopkins. And 109,901 of those are in the United States, according to the CDC. And it's sadly almost certainly more than that by the time this podcast is posted. And again, as we know, these are the direct deaths that we know about. Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot more. And that's also only one part of the impact. That's not taking into account all kinds of other ways people may have lost their lives in relation to the pandemic. and the number of infected, again, that we know about. And the vast majority of us have, of course, not been tested, is in the millions. Many of whom will experience a whole range of effects, from not even knowing we have it, to mild symptoms, to something quite severe and life-altering, and potentially to losing our lives. And every single one of those is a person, just like us, whose life is very precious, and who has loved ones, some of whom may be listening to this podcast. And among us listening, some of us could have COVID-19 now or in the future and could lose our lives. And since this is a podcast featuring many different spiritual traditions, I'd like to take a moment of silence together to feel and to honor the staggering loss of life. And if we have a spiritual practice to use, use that, you know, use whatever our spiritual practice is in whatever way is meaningful for us in relation to this loss of life. And if we don't, we might simply allow ourselves to feel it and then go from there. So I'd like to ask, might be a strange thing to ask on a podcast, but I'd like to ask, we can maybe take about a minute and just do that first.
Yeah, I'm going to let you lead as far as the length and, you know.
Okay. And I also want to add, if you're listening and you've lost a loved one, or you have a loved one who is sick, or you're sick, there's nothing medically I can do. But if you are listening to a podcast interviewing a Buddhist monk, and you'd like me to do prayers and meditation practices for your loved one or for yourself, please email me the name of the person, their condition, and I'll do that. And I think we'll post my email on the tagline of the podcast.
Yeah, I can do that, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. So in terms of my perspective as a Buddhist on this moment, first of all, what we just did, that many of us are personally affected by this. You know, I have a very good friend who was on a ventilator for about 33 days.
Wow.
But at the same time, if we're not, and even if it's a friend or something, it's easy for numbers like this to stay numbers on screens or on Facebook feeds or concerning stories or things that are definitely, you know, affecting our lives. But it's easy with as disconnected as we tend to be from each other. Ironically, through mediums like social media that are designed to connect us further, it's easy for these things to just stay numbers. And to not actually allow ourselves to kind of slow down and feel the actual human impact of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, you know, I think is also that anyone who's personally lost someone, I'm sure, has been mourning. But collectively, we haven't yet because we're still in it.
Mm.
And so that comes first. beyond that, in terms of the virus, I'm going to speak on a very personal, kind of individual level. And then I'm going to zoom out a little and look societally. And then I'm going to zoom way out and speak kind of cosmically about the general state of the world and the times that we're in from a Buddhist point of view. And all those are related. So first of all, on this very personal individual level, the first thing that comes to my mind is to acknowledge the reality of sickness and death. So let's hope not now, and let's hope not from COVID-19, but at some point we will all get sick from something. And at some point we will all die from something, maybe not an illness. But that's usually not at the forefront of our minds unless we're very sick or have a near-death experience or someone we love does or they die. So events like this pandemic, where that's happening in mass and is also a loss of many aspects of our way of life, for me, puts things in perspective. As in, from something, at some point, we're going to die. And so what really matters in life? And a lot of the day-to-day things I was worried about before the pandemic don't seem that important right now. You know, and isn't that amazing? So many of the things that seem so real and so important, just like that, are gone. So how much energy do I really want to spend in the future on those things, trying to win an argument, you know, or something like that? Because right now I'd much rather have my friends. And along those lines, what seems very important to me right now is, am I doing what I can to stay safe for the people around me, to do what I can to help? Am I using my life in the most meaningful way? Because it won't last forever. At the time of my own death, everything goes, right? Mm-hmm. All I have is my state of mind and the effects of my actions. And so again, it's not to provoke fear. It's to ask, how do I want to use my life? What really matters in this perspective? Some of the other things that seem very important right now are wearing masks, socially distancing, and all the other things that we're advised to do, not only for ourselves, but even more so, really, to make it less likely that we unknowingly pass this on to someone else who may be a lot more vulnerable than us. We may not even know we have it, but we could pass it on to someone and it could kill them or their loved ones, especially if they're older. And I'm sure this isn't news. So me going to a party right now is not worth causing the death of someone's mother, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of ethics, you know, as I was speaking about, the ethics of not causing harm and the sacredness of life and of community, that's a very pragmatic thing to do. And that's what comes to mind. Beyond that, what we all need right now is to love ourselves and to love each other. Because again, at times like this, when the chips are down, that matters. And that's where we find our strength and community. And we're going to need that because, as we know from World Health and climate change experts, this is not going to be the last one of these. And we're really going to need each other. And by the way, right now, if we're isolated for purposes of safety and we're feeling fear, we're feeling loneliness, we're feeling anxiety, we're feeling frustration, we're feeling uncertainty, we can know that a lot of us around the world, including myself, are feeling those very same things. And if we take a few breaths with that and kind of let that soak in, then these very same feelings that could further isolate us can also be what connect us. And in that way, what can connect us with our compassion. So now, zooming out a little bit societally, and I'm speaking especially right now as an American, in terms of the United States. While all of us can get COVID-19, and we're all interdependent, and we're all in it together that way, part of that means understanding that within that, there's a huge spectrum here in terms of our vulnerabilities and our access to resources. Where depending who we are, we may have a job where we can stay at home and work remotely and take precautions, and I'm in that position, but many people can't. Many people have the kind of job where they cannot stay at home, they have to go to work to feed themselves and their families, and some don't have homes or jobs at all. When I realized you were in the Bay Area, the first image that came to my mind was being in Oakland a few years ago and riding in a bus down MLK Drive and seeing people living in tents, right? And that's just one situation of many like that. And as many of your previous guests pointed out, while this pandemic affects everyone in so many different ways, the ways that it does also devastatingly demonstrate the existing, ongoing, unresolved inequities in our society, such as socioeconomic disparities and racial injustices, some of which we're seeing massive protests in response to right now. And those are all major topics in and of themselves in all kinds of different ways. And so in terms of ethics, some of the questions that I think we have to ask ourselves, and I'm speaking as someone who's experiencing privilege and not oppression, is, are we paying attention to these issues? Are we listening to people who have experiences different than our own? What is our role in these issues? What kinds of influence do we have, and how can we use it to help? And what actions can we take? And again, those are huge topics in and of themselves, and they're not new. And I'm sure they're not new to many of us listening. And they're questions I think we have to keep asking. So now, zooming way out, cosmically, I'll say something about the state of the world from my understanding as a Buddhist. And from a Buddhist point of view, the first thing to say is that the world that we have is the world all living beings have co-created through all of our actions back through limitless time. Now, in terms of what we've created, I'm going to say something first, which might be surprising, which is that largely the whole lifespan of our planet is considered fortunate because spiritual teachings are alive and available. And that's not an accident, and it's not something we can take for granted. So, for example, I've listened to all of your previous podcast episodes on this series, and I love them. And I don't even...
I'm honored. Thank you.
I'm honored to be a guest. I'm honored to have heard them. I love them, and I don't even want to think about a world where a podcast series like yours couldn't happen because there are no religions, and there are no practitioners. And there are no teachings. None of us made this stuff up. I don't think I'm alone in saying that. But that's possible. It's possible that we could have a world where a podcast series like yours couldn't even exist because we don't even have these traditions. And so again, to me, that's one of the things that this moment really puts into perspective, that we have, at least we have spiritual tools. And, you know, listening to this series, it's amazing to me the spiritual wealth of what even just some of our world's spiritual traditions have to offer. So that said, now I'm going to say what we probably would have expected about the state of the world, which is that within that, we go through cycles based on the effects of our collective actions. And right now, if we look around on an individual level, we see a lot of wonderful work. But on a collective level, we see the ripening of the mass amalgamations of many years of actions arising from greed and overconsumption, from willful ignorance to our environment and the suffering of each other, and from aggression. And the world that those have created has an environmental crisis on an existential level for humanity, a severe resource depletion, even famine, pandemic illnesses like the one we're seeing now, war, and systemic injustices. And tragically, as we know, those don't wait and take turns for each other to happen. Those all compound each other. And so with this pandemic in particular, you know, who knows if this surfaced because of climate change or any number of reasons? I don't know. But what we do know from experts in world health and climate change, because they've been warning about these for years, is that precisely this kind of pandemic, a zoonotic virus, meaning originating from animals, we're likely to see more of because of many factors, including habitat disruption and the way that increases transmission among different species and ourselves, and as well because of our own population density and world travel. So it's disasters like this waiting to happen, and we've been warned for a long time, and we're still being warned. And since those warnings have come out, the factors that accelerate those have only continued. So again, to me, that underscores the importance of how we meet this moment and how we go forward from here in our actions and in how we care for ourselves and each other. Because as well, from a Buddhist perspective, our global situation is almost certainly going to get worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. And I know many of your, it's very interesting to me listening to your series, that it seems like many of the traditions that your guests are speaking from share some similarities.
Oh yeah,
in the cosmic.
I don't know what word to use. It's somewhere between fascinating and terrifying. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's almost as if there was a script, but it was completely spontaneous. They all went the same way. Yeah.
Well, and I think there is a script. I mean, I've heard where Well, I mean, I heard your guest, who is a chaplain of Hinduism, say it was written, you know, in their texts.
Right.
I heard your previous guest, Laughing Coyote, say it had been predicted, you know, mm-hmm. in this tradition, and it's also what I'm saying now. I'm paraphrasing classic Buddhist texts. But again, to me, you know, it's easy to stay at the level of it being terrifying and fascinating. But to me, what it really underscores, knowing that it's likely to get worse before it gets better, is as that happens, it's how we live our values that's going to matter, right? We can't, none of us can change drastically and immediately that kind of situation. And so what matters is how do we show up through those times? How do we live love in times of chaos? And meditation, you know, is one way, one tool that we have that we can start to love ourselves and train. And it's one among many. And I know many traditions have tools. But it's one that we use as Buddhists, of course, in addition, you know, in informing our actions to, as much as we can, you know, care for ourselves and be able to care for each other. Because really that's what's going to matter, I think, you know, as this continues, that of course we have to continue to do everything that we can to impact the situation in the pragmatic ways that it's calling for. But knowing that so much is beyond our control and knowing that what we're experiencing is kind of a taste of things to come, it's really more, how are we preparing to be able to show up for each other and care for each other through that and meet that through our values? And so it's less what's going to happen, and it's more, who do we want to be within that, and how do we want to respond and relate with each other?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That is really, you know, the kind of advice that I would actually take one little bit at a time and listen to one piece at a time and kind of think about each part of it. Because, you know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, the things that we need to do, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, you know? I mean, it's like, it's not a coincidence that everyone is saying the same things. But also there's a big difference between what's simple and what's easy. And so the things that you're saying they're right there. They're just right there. We just need to do this. And at the same time, we need to do this. We need to get up and we need to hear what you are saying and what other people are saying and take every bit of it very seriously and take the time, I think, to let it work on us. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you can get through in 20 minutes and just run through the bullet points and you're done. So yeah, thank you for all of that. You had this wonderful suggestion that I wonder if this is the time for it. I always like to finish with some music. And you were suggesting that we finish with some meditation. And so if you feel like this is the moment for that, I would love to hand it over to you if you would like to lead us.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And again, because this is an ecumenical setting, and I know that there are many spiritual tools that can be used, I did want to, at the same time, you know, I did want to offer something where we don't just talk about all the intense emotions that all of us are going through and the intense state of the world and the actions that we know we need to take, but I wanted to offer something, a tool from the tradition that I've received, that we can use for spiritual care for ourselves and for each other, knowing that is only one part of what's needed. And the meditation that I'll lead us through very, very briefly, and that we can certainly use at home, is one we do not need to be a Buddhist to practice. And that's definitely why I used it, and also why I suggested that we do it at the end. So if anyone's simply not interested, it's easy to just tune out. Thanks for that. And so, first, we start with our posture, and we do not need to be on a meditation cushion or anything like that. We can do this in a chair. We can do this in a parked car as opposed to a driving car. We can do this lying down. But the area from where we're sitting, like our pelvic bowl, kind of up to the crown of our head, is kind of our meditative highway. We want to take a posture where that's upright and that's relaxed. And then we want to tune into and notice that we're breathing. And just start to really come into our breathing, feel our breathing, become our breathing, mix our whole mind, our awareness, our attention, our feeling with our breathing, feeling our whole body breathing. And within that, just allowing ourselves completely to feel everything that we're feeling, whether it's painful or pleasant, whatever it is, it's allowed, and just total, complete acceptance and allowance of what we're feeling, and just letting ourselves breathe with that. If we find ourselves caught up in thinking, getting carried away, we can notice that and just feel the energy of it, feel it in our body, rather than continuing to kind of get carried away. And just allow it, breathe with it. And so that's a way that we can meditate if we'd like at home, or when we stop and we get somewhere and we've stopped our car and we're just sitting there, any time that we feel we need some spiritual medicine, so to speak, that's something that we can do and that uses our mind's self-healing kind of capacity. And another little trick that we can use if we find ourselves in strong emotions, fear, anger, uncertainty, any of the things that we may be feeling in relation to the pandemic. We can breathe with that, and we can recognize this very same thing that I am feeling, so many people around the world are feeling right now. And in that way, we can use it as a doorway to our empathy and our compassion. And that not only helps others, but it helps ourselves. It's healing for our mind. So that's what I wanted to just kind of offer into the mix, of what we have available to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's really great. It's wonderful talking to you. I love how somehow just very to the point and pragmatic a lot of the things that you're saying have been, and very clear. Yeah, I don't know whether the word to say impressed or just the clarity of your words. So, Loda Nima, thank you so very much for being a part of this.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. So to all our listeners, that was Gelong Loda Nima, who lives and teaches at the Shambhala Mountain Center in Colorado. I'm going to be putting a way to reach him in the description of this episode, so just look at the text, and you can also get in touch with me through the Facebook page if you need to find him or me. Just look for Hear the World podcast. And thank you so much for being with us. This was Hear the World. My name is Asaf Ophir, and I wish everyone a wonderful week.